Jacksonville State University. I am sitting in for Ben Donnelly this morning, who will be in, well, he's here, okay? But he's getting caught up a little bit, and I was here, I made the coffee, so I thought I would just sit down and talk with Connie Quinn for a little while. Connie Quinn, who's the executive director of the, I'm going to go back to your old name.
It's our new name, yeah.
Your new old name, the Winston-Salem Little Symphony, Little Theater.
Little Theater of Winston-Salem.
Okay. For a hot minute, you were Tri-Stage.
Nope. For a hot minute, we were Twin City Stage, and that's why we went back to being the Little Theater of Winston-Salem, among several other reasons.
So it's good. It's a familiar name, and everybody is probably still referring to you by the original name. So you're back, and you've got an exciting show that's coming up, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
It is going to be so exciting. We have the biggest, most ab-fab set that you will ever want to see being built right now. An amazing cast with some incredible voices. A director who has grown up through the theater, who is now a teacher at Artspace School. And it's just an all-star cast going on over there.
The theater is famous probably for these incredible sets that you build. You go there and it's like you're really peeking into someone's home or countryside or just where it's supposed to be. It's what it looks like. How do you all come up with such brilliant sets?
We have brilliant set designers, and this gentleman who's designed this set has done several of those big sets that you're talking about, and this one is going to be nothing short of spectacular. I mean, you're going to Egypt.
Now give us the backstory of the musical, because it's people who are probably familiar with the tale from the Bible, but it's been a big hit musical for years now.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, of course everyone knows Andrew Lloyd Webber, famous, fabulous, all of that. The story is based on the biblical story of Joseph and his coat of many colors. There are some interesting and fabulous characters that make appearances. Nothing short of Elvis happens in this show. So it's a lot of fun. The music is incredible, and again, it's an amazing set and an amazing cast. You don't want to miss this one. The music is very familiar. People love it. If you've seen it, you love it, and if you haven't seen it yet, you will love it.
One of the things that you're going to go to see is, of course, the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. How do you come up with a costume that will compete with a stage and with the music and with the marvelous cast that you have?
So, same answer as the set question. We have amazing costume designers. The last time we did Joseph at the Little Theater, I believe, was 2008, and that coat was incredible. This coat is equally as amazing and incredible. And it not only competes with the set, but it will be part of the set at some point. So there's a little hint for you.
Connie Quinn, executive director of the Winston-Salem Little Theater, if I get the name wrong, correct it.
Little Theater of Winston-Salem.
The Little Theater of Winston-Salem. If I don't have it written down in front of me, I just don't know what I'm talking about. But I do know you, Connie, and you have been a mainstay in the arts community for a while. And
tell my age.
I'm not telling your age. I'm telling your experience, and the fact that you obviously love the arts community and the not-for-profit community. And now you're at the theater, and great things are happening.
Yeah, we're really excited. We've got a lot of fun things happening. We are in our 82nd season now.
Wow.
We have just announced our 83rd season, which everybody is wildly excited about. We have the regional premiere of Mamma Mia at the beginning of our season. And at the end of our season, we are doing a collaboration with North Carolina Black Repertory Company on Dreamgirls.
Wow. Big shows.
Mamma Mia on one end and Dreamgirls on the other, and a lot of fun things in between.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of singing.
It's a whole lot of singing and a whole lot of dancing, too. That's why they don't let me up there, though.
So, but see, that says so much about our community and the talent that's here to step up, because these are volunteers?
Everyone that you see on stage is a volunteer, yes. And the crew backstage that makes all the magic happen, volunteers as well. I mean, we are the actual model for community theater.
Let's talk about community theater. It's important to us, obviously, because you have a strong following, and you put on some impressive shows. How do you keep the energy alive for community theater?
So community theater is, as you said, I've been involved in the arts for years. This is my first venture into community theater. It's amazing. I have never been anywhere I felt more welcomed. Folks are so invested and so, so passionate about this organization. So you have that really solid base built in already of people who've been involved for years and years, people who just love the theater. And then it becomes a really social or personal experience, too, when people come in and do something with you for the first time. Then they're hooked, you know. So you just build on that existing enthusiasm, and you build new patrons and new volunteers year after year. It's a very fun place to be.
You mentioned new people, and that, I think, it's somebody who goes to the theater, often the Little Theater, and you see so many of the same people that are involved, so many who are so dedicated. For somebody who's out there listening, saying, I can sing, I can learn how to dance, maybe I should take part in the Little Theater. What do you have to say to them about coming and being part of the team?
I say, if you want to be on stage, come out and audition. We're about to hold auditions for our next show, which is Baskerville, which we will do at the Haynes Brands Theater downtown. No singing and dancing in that one, so acting in that one. But we are always posting audition information about the upcoming next show. There are also other ways to get involved. There's backstage. You want to learn how to run the fly rail or how to manage a stage manage a show or how to paint a set or build a set. Or if you just want to usher, help people find their seat, work the box office, work the concessions area. There are so many opportunities to be involved, and all of that is volunteer-driven.
So you could have absolutely no talent, at least no talent in your mind, and you can still take part in the Little Theater.
Absolutely.
Now, someone like you who is in the office and raising money and being the face and the voice of Little Theater, do you ever have the opportunity to slip on stage and take a part in a role or just stand there or push something? Is that part of your dream? Is it part of your job description?
It is not part of my dream or my job description or my skill set. The time that I spend on stage is a time that I'm very comfortable on stage. You will see me at the beginning of most shows coming out, giving the announcements, you know, turn your cell phone off, all of that stuff. But the important things like thanking our sponsors and our volunteers and everybody who is involved in putting on the show, and announcing upcoming volunteer opportunities and season information. So that's my little mini stint on the stage, and that works just fine for me.
Connie Quinn, Executive Director of the Little Theater. What excites you about the arts community? Because, like we said at the start of the conversation, you have taken on many different roles, but you keep coming back, and you keep showing up, and you keep doing great things in the arts community.
The arts community in Winston-Salem, I think, is completely amazing. The theater, in and of itself, is a theater family. The arts community, in and of itself, is an extension of that family. I can pick up the phone and call anybody at any arts organization in town and get help. That includes the Arts Council, who is a tremendous resource for us as well. And a lot of the relationships, my personal relationships that I've built, are out of results of working in the arts. And I think that the arts, it not only adds so much to the community, but is actually a huge, vibrant thread in what makes Winston-Salem what it is.
And, you know, that's something that really makes us proud. And when you say that, I get excited because, first of all, it's true. And second of all, it makes me feel good about this community and proud of the stuff that's going on.
It's a really exciting time to be at the theater, and it's an equally exciting time to be in our city right now.
You're listening to Morning Jazz. I am Jim Steele, sitting in for Ben Donnelly, who is your regular host of Try It and Focus. And I couldn't even find his music, his theme song. But I'm sitting here talking to Connie Quinn, and it's delightful because you are such an interesting person. And you have worn so many hats in the community, and now you are at the Little Theater. And we were talking about Winston-Salem as a city of arts and innovation. You've been here long enough to have been on the roller coaster where, you know, things went up and things went down and things are going back up again, because we have this long history of claiming ourselves as a city of the arts. But we've been through some tough times, and we're still here. There's a song in there somewhere.
There is in there somewhere.
So what does that say about our community for its resilience? Do we just not face the facts, or do we believe so strongly that we are indeed a city of arts that we keep on?
I think it's the latter. I think we believe so strongly that we're a city of the arts, and it is such a strong piece of the fabric of the community that it, I don't think it enters anyone's mind to let go of that piece of it.
Yeah.
We have sponsors at our community theater that have been with us for years and years. And then we have new folks who are coming on all the time. We have Tim Wellborn, law offices of Tim Wellborn, who are sponsoring our show, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And Tim's been sponsoring the theater for years and years and years. And then we have a first-time sponsor coming up for Baskerville in KPMG. So there's people who've been involved in the community forever who continue to support the arts, and then there are new folks coming in to support as well. So it's a great time, and it's a great community. I think people are so invested in the arts here.
Yeah, I no disagreement with you there. But the challenges have been one of age, because some of the real supporters, big supporters of art in this community, we've lost. And some of the big corporations, we've lost, that were such good art supporters, good stewards of the arts community. But your challenge is to keep inviting people in and keep finding people who are like-minded. So what about that as a challenge? You're smiling, so it says to me that it's a challenge that you welcome.
It is a challenge that I welcome, and it's one that we talk about at the theater a lot, and that I've talked about in other arts organizations in town. Arts patrons, as you said, several of the staples in the community we've lost recently. The challenge is that organizations like people, like me and you, are not, I'm not what I was 20 years ago. I was a special version of myself 20 years ago.
I was thin 20 years ago.
So was I.
I was thin 30 years ago.
and but now I'd like to think that I am an equally great version, but not the same.
Yeah.
The theater is equally as great, not the same as it was 20 or 30 years ago. The arts community is maybe even more vibrant now than it was 20 or 30 years ago. We don't have those same people, or we don't look exactly like we did then. But that doesn't mean that what's happening now is not really exciting.
Connie Quinn, Executive Director of the Little Theater. How do you make it a welcoming community, the arts community? How do you make it welcoming so that people come in and say, I want to take part. I want to take ownership of the Little Theater. Just fill in the blank. How do you do that?
The people who are involved are warm and welcoming and fabulous. From the time you walk in the door at the theater to what you see on stage is a very warm and personal experience. Also, the arts in and of themselves, I've had this discussion a lot lately, level the playing field for folks.
Mm.
You can love and experience and take something away from the theater, no matter what your race, class, age, whatever background you come from. You can take something just as special away from the theater as the person sitting next to you.
Let's talk about the talent in this show that's coming up, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Where do you find talent, the voices for a show like that? And tell us about the voice, of course, Joseph. That's the one that we want to talk about, because he is, he's the star.
Joseph, okay, so couple part answer there. We hold open auditions, again, true community theater open auditions. Nothing is pre-cast or preset. You come out, you audition, the director and the production team select the cast. And we had a huge, huge turnout for Joseph. The cast for Joseph is huge. Lots of children in Joseph. So big, big turnout. And like I said, the director and the production team select the cast. Joseph himself, I think we have two leads in the show. Obviously, Joseph is the name that you are coming to see because his name's on the show. Joseph is a young gentleman whose name is Andrew. He is a School of the Arts student. He is absolutely adorable, and he has an amazing, amazing voice. If you picture Joseph in your mind, he's what you're picturing.
Yeah.
He's absolutely perfect for the role, and again, his voice is just incredible. The other, what I consider lead in the show, is the narrator, and that role is being taken on by Charity Hampton, who opens her mouth, and what an angel sounds like must come out. Just incredible voice, and the two of them together are a powerhouse. We recently had our first signature fundraiser, and the two of them sang together for the group, and everyone's blown away.
Connie Quinn, Executive Director of the Little Theater. Let's talk about your role with the Little Theater. Let's go back to that, because you're a problem solver. And I'm going to say that and let you take it from there, but you are a problem solver. So when you come into an environment like the Little Theater, which had a new name, didn't work so great, and now you're going back to your original name, and when you come into a situation like that, what do you think?
I came into this situation knowing that this organization had a rich and incredible history and a rich and incredible potential future. And I was not there 1 week before I knew I was absolutely correct about that. Again, have never been anywhere I felt more welcomed or supported. And that is from far-reaching arms out. I mean, not just from my board, who is incredible, or the staff, who is incredible, but folks who just were calling up. I mean, I got endless phone calls going, oh my gosh, I love the theater. We're so glad that you're there. So the support piece there is just amazing. And like I said, the theater comes with such rich history and great foundation. And we have just announced what I think might be the most exciting season in the history of the theater for our 83rd season.
Do you consider yourself a fixer?
Yes. So the simple answer to that is yes. I love a challenge. But I like to win. So I don't want one that I think that I can't win with. And this was a slam dunk.
Connie Quinn, Executive Director of the Little Theater. You mentioned that you've got an additional space to enjoy for the stage, because generally we think of you as in the space on Coliseum Drive.
That's true. People associate the Coliseum Drive Theater, which is the Arts Council Theater, as the Little Theater. They often refer to the building as the Little Theater.
Yeah.
That is, in fact, the Arts Council Theater, and we perform there most of the time. We have branched out recently and done some shows over at Haynes Brands Theater downtown, which is a great space. We will be doing our last show of the season, Baskerville, will be there, and we will be there for a show also next season. And we love the space, love the Haynes Brands space, and love having that opportunity to perform downtown as well.
You mentioned the play Baskerville again, so I'm assuming that it's Sherlock Holmes, maybe, possibly?
It is. It's a farce, farce comedy, takeoff, whatever you want to call it, of The Hound of the Baskervilles, and it's going to be a wild show. obviously very different than Joseph, not a musical, but I think it'll be equally as enjoyable.
Once again, Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat opens at the end of the month.
Opens March 31st, and tickets go on sale to the public Monday, March 20th.
And your website, simple name, I'm sure. Give us the address.
www.thelittletheaterofws.org.
Can't be any simpler than that. Also, you're on Facebook, and we want to make sure that we connect on Facebook to share information about the play and the musical and the season, because we want to make sure that everybody has this on their calendar. There's never a shortage of entertainment in this community. This is not a sleepy little town.
That's an amazing town, and the challenge sometimes is what do you choose to go do, because there's so much available.
The play that's coming up, the musical that's coming up, it's something that is appealing to a broad audience. So for someone who has probably an idea of what the story is, and they have an idea of what some of the music is, what do you have to say to them, to invite them to come in and experience this musical fully?
I say come in open-minded, ready to be entertained and enjoy yourself. It is a family-friendly show, so it works for whoever you would like to bring with. And you will leave with a huge smile on your face.
You mentioned, we've talked about this being community theater at its best, how it's supposed to work. There are several community theaters in this area, and you all seem to work, for some reason it seems that you all have decided this is what we do best and this is what we're going to do. Was that a conversation or did it just evolve naturally?
I have had some version of that conversation before, but I think just because of the nature of what we do and at the level at which we do it, it comes out naturally.
Yeah.
It's just a natural thing for us.
And where we're going with that is you're not competing. You're complementing one another because you all do very, very different things.
Yeah, there are 15 community theater organizations within just a very small area right here. And I don't consider us in competition with one another. We often loan out set pieces and costume pieces to other theaters. We are always happy to help promote. We have a lot of crossover in actors and directors and folks like that participate with us.
Connie Coyne, Executive Director of the Little Theater. Tell us about the process that you're going through now. You've got the big musical coming up. You've got a play coming up. And that's the end of the season.
It is.
And then you start all over again. But you probably started yesterday.
We've already started for the next season. We will roll out of Baskerville, which is our last show for the season, and into summer camp mode, which is another thing we do pretty well. We'll be doing Madagascar Junior, which is our big main stage camp this summer, along with several other camps as well.
Okay, help me out here, because I don't know about summer camp. I don't know what you're talking about.
So if you were a little bit younger, Jim, you could come to
a lot bit younger. Okay,
you could come to summer camp. It's a fun, we've got different age ranges going on with different summer camps. There's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Dorothy in Wonderland, which is interesting. It's a combination of Dorothy and Alice in Wonderland. And Madagascar Junior, and I'm missing, Midsummer Night's Dream. So depending on what age range you are and how much time you're going to spend at camp, those are available for the summer. We've got some great camp teachers and counselors who participate with us throughout the year teaching acting classes, and will be in for summer camp. And I'm just excited to have the young folks in the building and building new stars and actors and theater patrons for years to come.
So what's the age range we're talking about?
Oh, you put me on the spot. I think we're second grade through eighth grade.
Okay, so we're talking kids.
Yes.
We literally
yes.
are talking summer camp.
Yes, we're talking summer camp.
So you pathetic adults out there who want to learn theater, you just have to go audition and learn it that way.
No, I have an adult acting class available for you, not pathetic adults who would like to learn to be a star on stage.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know.
So you want to come to acting class?
No, I don't. So what you're really illustrating is you all are really doing a brilliant job of creating a new audience, a new set of actors. You're keeping your community theater alive by producing more players.
That's our plan. Is we have classes that go on throughout the year, not just in the summer. So we have acting classes throughout the year that range from children to high school students through adults. We've added the adult class recently, and it's really interesting to watch because we have had folks in that class who start at age 20 and who cap at age 80 plus.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That's a really fun dynamic in there as well. So there's something for everybody, but yeah, we want to continue to build theater lovers and arts lovers.
You're doing the summer camp, which I think is an absolutely brilliant idea, and the lessons and all that. And let's talk about fundraising. What's up? What's on the horizon out there? Do you have a big event coming up? Are you doing a lot of small events? Because we know that you've got to keep getting those coins in to keep entertaining and informing and educating the theater community.
That's That is true. We just did our first annual signature soiree, an evening at the Copacabana, which is based off of the Barry Manilow song at the Copacabana. And it was a really, really fun and successful evening for us. We did it in the speakeasy level of the Millennium Center, and we had a packed out house and exceeded our financial goal, and everybody had such a good time that we will do some version of it again next year. So that's the one we just did, and we have some other things coming up. We're not quite ready to announce yet,
sure,
but yeah,
sure.
there are some other fundraising things on the horizon, but we have definitely added that signature event, which will become an annual tradition.
Well, we'll keep an ear out, and we'll let our listeners know what's coming up with the Little Theater, and also go to our website, because we have our calendar and we have events on there, but also our Facebook page, and we'll have a message from Connie. And we'll have information about Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat coming up at the end of the month at the Little Theater. Connie Quinn, Executive Director of the Little Theater, thank you for dropping by to talk with us.
Tim Steele, thank you for having me.
Any final words for listeners about the theater, the production, and or what they should keep in mind?
We're obviously, again, very grateful for our sponsors, and Tim Welborn has sponsored us for years and years, and just is great and generous, and he's picked a great show to sponsor in this one. Tickets will sell fast for this one. They go on sale Monday, so please get your tickets, because this is going to be a really special show. The cast is truly amazing, and you don't want to miss this one.
Great evening of entertainment at the Little Theater. Connie Quinn, thank you for stopping by, and we look forward to continuing this conversation at another time.
Thank you, Tim.
You're listening to 90.5 FM, WSNC, Winston-Salem, your genuine jazz station from the campus of Winston-Salem State University. 7:56, I'm Jim Steele. Coming up, music to take us up to the top of the hour. You're listening to Morning Jazz.
You make that so easy.
Oh, thank you, my dear. Thank you. Now I can go home and go to sleep again. Just kidding.
Yeah, me either. Went to the opera tonight.
Oh, excellent.
I've heard it's fabulous.
Yeah.
The Italian girl.
Yeah, and the tenor, Lee, he came by and we talked. Just a little swell guy. Norman.
No, okay, I don't know Norman. I know Brian, who is...
Jim, stop talking.
90.5 FM, WSNC, Winston-Salem.
Hold for a minute. It's 7:57. You're listening to Morning Jazz at 90.5 FM, WSNC. Coming up in just a few minutes, it's Democracy Now.
So do you, though. You guys got the St. Patrick's thing
going?
As
do you. It's the only reason I buy green shirts.
Well, I'm a nice Irish girl, so I would be shamed and humiliated by my family if I managed to not do this today.
Well, I like green, man. I don't like getting pinched.
I like green too, red. You have to let me selfie with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, let me ask you this. Did you see that last Tom Ford picture, Nocturnal Animals?
No.
It's really good. I read mixed reviews on it, but I absolutely loved it.
Okay, cool. So check it out.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Democracy Now.
There are already questions as to climate change. I think the president was fairly straightforward. We're not spending money on that anymore. We consider that to be a waste of your money.
In what the Trump White House bills as America First budget, it calls for an unprecedented $54 billion increase in military spending while slashing environmental, housing, education, diplomatic programs, as well as billions from the United Nations. The big winners are the Pentagon and Homeland Security. We'll get response from former presidential candidate Ralph Nader, longtime consumer advocate. Then, is President Donald Trump's top counterterrorism advisor, Sebastian Gorka, a member of a Hungarian far-right